We're at the Hollywood Museum with the opening of Reel to Reel, depictions of gays and lesbians in Hollywood.
One of our earliest allies, Burt Lancaster, emceed our first major fundraiser.
It's very important, isn't it, for the LGBT community to be celebrated?
Rise up and fight for our rights and power.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Religious right pushes gay sex ban in Indonesia's top court, Hollywood peeks at its queerest perceptions, and a lion-hearted lesbian lays bare Kenyan injustice. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Jason Proctor.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending August 6, 2016. Indonesia's highest court is considering a case filed by a coalition of far-right Islamic activists demanding that private consensual adult gay sex be outlawed in the predominantly Muslim nation. They're asking that such acts be punished by up to 15 years in prison. Current Indonesian law does not specifically criminalize same-gender sex, although can be brutally punished under Sharia, or Islamic law, which governs Aceh province. A group calling itself the Family Love Alliance calls for sex between adults of the same gender and the rest of ostensibly secular Indonesia to be prosecuted under statutes that outlaw an adult engaging in sex with a minor. The 9-judge Constitutional Court formally accepted the Jakarta-based Islamic group's judicial review petition this week. Rita Hendrawati, chairwoman of the Family Love Alliance, denied that her group was attempting to criminalize those who have a deviant sexual orientation, but told the Jakarta Post that the LGBT community is spreading propaganda to make it seem as if casual sex or same-sex relationships are okay. The group presented experts at the court on August 2nd, testifying that homosexuality is inherently immoral and that it contravenes Indonesia's state ideology. Testimony from those opposed to criminalizing same-gender sex will be heard later this month.
The legal attack seems to build on the escalating denigration of Indonesia's sexual minorities by Islamic clerics and government officials. Even the country's leading psychiatric body classified being LGBT as a curable mental disorder earlier this year. The defense minister declared the LGBT rights movement to be more dangerous than nuclear warfare, and the Indonesian Broadcasting Commission has banned what it calls gay propaganda and effeminate males on television. The Family Love Alliance's petition also affects heterosexuals. It wants the High Court to expand adultery laws to apply to unmarried couples.
Law enforcement harassment and threats of violence by a government cabinet minister forced Ugandan LGBT rights activists to cancel a pride celebration in a private space in the outskirts of the capital city of Kampala planned for August 6th. Falsely charging that a gay wedding was taking place, police raided the Mr. and Miss Pride pageant at Kampala's Venom nightclub on August 4th, detaining and harassing about 200 attendees and arresting some 24 people, including well-known Ugandan activists Frank Mugisha and Pepe Julian Onziema. Some reports suggested that police officers particularly targeted and sexually abused several trans women and that one man was seriously injured after jumping through a 4-story window trying to escape the raid. The organizers were also accused of holding the event without a permit, which they vehemently denied. Onziema told BuzzFeed News that there's no way we would hold an event without a clearance. They don't care as long as the word homosexuality is not mentioned, he said. As soon as that is mentioned, everything else ceases and police feel they have to act. All the detainees were eventually released without charge. Human rights lawyer Nick Opayo told BuzzFeed News after a meeting with Ugandan ethics minister Simon Lokoto that the outspoken homophobe threatened to mobilize a mob and large police group to beat up anyone who shows up. Organizers said they still hope to hold a pride event sometime later this year.
The government of Tanzania is trying to curb gay sex by banning the import and sale of lubricants. Health Minister Umi Mwalimu said the bizarre ban was justified because the product encourages homosexuality. Tanzania already punishes private, consensual, adult, gay male sex with up to life in prison. Lesbian sex is not even mentioned in the penal code. Human Rights Watch has criticized Tanzania's government for failing to stop rampant abuse against LGBT people, or those perceived to be, by homophobic thugs, and even by the police. Mwalimu claims that taking lubricants off the shelves will help reduce the spread of HIV/AIDS in the Eastern African country, but the global watchdog group says efforts to reduce HIV/AIDS infections are actually being impeded by government-sanctioned abuse of sexual minorities.
Two tragic reports surfaced out of the Middle East this week. A young gay Syrian refugee was raped, stabbed, and beheaded in Istanbul. Friends said they could only identify the mutilated corpse of Muhammad Wissam Sankari by the pants he was wearing. They said he was trying to leave Turkey because he feared for his safety after being repeatedly threatened, kidnapped, and gang-raped. One friend said he ignored their warnings about going out at night. Threats and violence against sexual minorities, or those perceived to be, are common in Turkey's overcrowded refugee camps, and law enforcement protection is virtually non-existent. We can only protect ourselves, the friend said. We stay together to protect ourselves.
Amnesty International has condemned the mid-July execution of a teenage boy in Iran. Hassan Afshar was only 17 in 2014 when he was arrested after another boy's father accused him of forcing his son to have sex with him. Afshar insisted that the sex was consensual and that the supposed victim had willingly engaged in same-gender sex on several previous occasions. If the other boy hadn't called it rape, however, instead of admitting to consensual sex, he too could have faced the death penalty. Now, 19-year-old Afshar was hanged at the prison city of Iraq on July 18th without prior notice to his family after a two-month trial in which he reportedly had no legal representation. While confirmation of such executions in Iran is usually difficult, the charge of raping an underage boy is often used to condemn suspected gay men under the country's strict Islamic law. A photo of two condemned and blindfolded allegedly gay teenage boys next to hangman's nooses shocked the world just a few years ago. According to the global human rights group, Afshar's death marks Iran's first confirmed execution of a juvenile this year. Amnesty says the country executed at least 75 juvenile offenders between 2005 and 2015, including 13 last year. It's hard to believe Iran is a signatory to the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which prohibits the use of the death penalty for children.
In other news this week, the U.S. Supreme Court stayed a lower court ruling that had ordered the Gloucester County, Virginia School Board to allow transgender teen Gavin Grimm to use the boys' bathroom. Justices voted 5-3 to put a temporary hold on the court order while they consider a review of the April ruling by the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. That court determined that Title IX, the federal law that bans discrimination in public schools based on gender, protects the rights of trans students to use sex-segregated facilities that match their gender identity. The current Gloucester High School policy requires Grimm to use alternative private facilities. So any celebrations of the Fourth Circuit ruling were premature, because he'll still have to use separate facilities when the new school year begins in September. Supreme Court Associate Justice Stephen Breyer tipped the court's 8-judge balance, calling his vote for the stay a courtesy. LGBT Legal Eagles point out that the ruling doesn't forecast the eventual outcome of the case itself, or even if the Supreme Court will hear the school board's appeal. That decision won't be made at the earliest until the High Court's new term begins in October.
And finally, a living lesbian legend and a martyred gay icon are each getting well-earned honors. Lily Tomlin will become the first out performer to win the Screen Actors Guild prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award during the union's annual awards ceremony in January. Tomlin first gained fame as abrasive telephone operator Ernestine and precocious little girl Edith Ann on the fast-paced 1960s TV comedy show Laugh-In'. She's never formally come out, but both publicly and privately, Tomlin has always been open about her decades-long professional and personal relationship with her partner, Jane Wagner. The couple married in 2013.
My name is Edith Ann, and that's the truth.
And you may have heard about the recent proposal by the U.S. Secretary of the Navy to add the USNS Harvey Milk to the fleet. Long before he moved from New York to San Francisco, came out, became the first openly gay person to be elected to public office in California, and was assassinated, Harvey Milk served honorably in the Navy during the Korean War. We're not sure if Harvey would have approved of a military Seal of Command Fleet oil ship being named after him, but the honor definitely does not hold water with the Family Research Council. The far-right evangelical Christian group's leader, Tony Perkins, who's credited with writing much of the Republican Party's notoriously homophobic party platform this year, is urging his followers to contact their congressional representatives to strongly oppose naming a Navy ship after the legendary gay activist and politician. Perkins complained that Milk is famous only for winning one election, being murdered, and having sex with men. Insert your own expletive here.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 6, 2016. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Wendell Jones.
And I'm Jason Proctor.
Queer Life brings out artists in the U.S. movie capital and the Kenyan underground later in the program. A record-breaking 44 out athletes were among the Olympians who strode into Rio's Maracana Stadium for the opening ceremonies on August 5th. Their long road to the Games was paved by the 23 LGBT athletes who competed in 2012 and by the gay man whose incredible performance made headlines 4 years earlier.
Olympic diver Matthew Mitchum comes from behind, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. At the Beijing Games on August 23, 2008, Matthew Mitchum executed a 2.5 somersault with 2.5 twists, earning the highest scoring dive in Olympic history. Grinning from ear to ear, he ran up into the stands to give his partner, Lachlan Fletcher, a kiss after he won. Mitchum came out 3 months before his victory in an interview with the Sydney Morning Herald. In fact, Mitchum was the only openly gay man out of 11,028 athletes at the 2008 Summer Olympics and became the second openly gay Olympic diver to win gold behind Greg Louganis in 1984. Mitchum's win came as a surprise since he had been behind until the last round. With his victory, Australia claimed its first diving gold medal in 84 years. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Mike Rutz.
More queer Olympic history was made this year when Brazilian model Leah T became the first trans woman to take part in the lighting of the Olympic torch. Leah T's appearance was touted as representing Brazil's tolerance for diversity, but events may not support that assertion. While Brazil offers legal protections to LGBT people, and Rio hosts what is perhaps the largest pride parade in the world, anti-LGBT violence, especially against trans women, has been escalating. Several lesbian Olympic soccer players have been subjected to homophobic chants during their matches, although no formal complaints have been lodged with FIFA. On the bright side for Team LGBT, New Zealand rower Robbie Manson has won the bronze medal in the men's double sculls.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out.
Grammo suspect dares to speak again, but first... In the heart of Tinseltown, the Hollywood Museum is putting its proud foot forward with an LGBT heritage display entitled Real to Real, Portrayals and Perceptions of Gays in Hollywood. The exhibit is presented in partnership with one of LA's Gay City Council members. One of the first celebrities our Steve Pride ran into at the opening night event.
I'm Mitch O'Farrell, Los Angeles City Council member representing the 13th District here in Los Angeles. We're in Hollywood tonight at the Hollywood Museum with the opening of Reel to Reel, Depictions of Gays and Lesbians in Hollywood. It's the third year running that we do this exhibition with Danelle Dadigan of the Hollywood Museum and her team of curators, and it's an incredible exhibit. And so this is the kickoff opening party.
What are you excited most about this year?
Well, I'm excited about so much. You know, we have the freedom to marry now across the nation from less than 1 year ago now. We are more focused than ever on the rights of our transgendered community. So that's a real hot topic and theme that's nationwide. And so it's important to have events like this to remind us of where we've been, because it gives us an indication of where we're going. I have long believed that when the civil rights of any group of individuals or any group of people are diminished, then civil rights for everyone are diminished. We have a lot farther to go. In fact, discrimination is perfectly legal in several states. You could get married in Alabama today and get fired from your job tomorrow because it's legal to do that there and so many other states. So the march, the effort continues, and events like this raise that awareness.
I'm Kat Kramer. Well, I'm here because I always support the museum, and I'm one of the stars of Child of the 70s. I'm also an associate producer on season 3 and 4, and it's been featured in this exhibit. And I know a lot of the, you know, talent and creators, I guess, that are represented. And then my father, Stanley Kramer, we have some Stanley Kramer, Whole Mad World with the dummies of Jonathan Winters and Mickey Rooney, and there's a Whole Mad World section here at the museum. I'm also an LGBT activist, an anti-bullying activist. I did a film, Teach Your Children Well, which Lily Tomlin narrated, all about bullying in the schools and LGBT bullying. And well, she's the ambassador to my screening series. We do a lot of social issues together, but that's one that I'm really proud that I presented, because it's not only a leading documentary on the subject, but it's used in schools and churches and to really address the bullying issue.
I'm Reverend Troy Perry, and I'm at this event tonight because I'm one of the three founders of the oldest gay pride parade in the world, and that's here in Los Angeles, California, the Christopher Street West Parade.
A little bit about the importance of gays in the movie. That's what we're here.
Gays in films, that's right. I've always loved different people at different times throughout history. Now, as a gay man, I also love people who were not GLBT, but were wonderful icons of our community. I used to live near Betty Davis over in West Hollywood, and Betty Davis was one of those actresses that I just adored. Another person that I really loved was Burt Lancaster. Burt, for another reason, because he was one of our earliest allies, and our fundraiser against the Briggs Initiative, when they were going to fire every gay school teacher in the state of California at that time, Burt Lancaster emceed our dinner, our first major fundraiser in our community. It was incredible because as a young man, I used to fantasize about him, and to have him introduce me that night as part of the program just made my heart flutter. Sal Mineo was somebody who lived in West Hollywood that I watched him rape Don Johnson every night in Fortune in Men's Eyes, the play. And Don Johnson then was just a teenager. I mean, it was really funny. But I look back and I love this city, and I loved all of those folks who are in television, who are in cinema or on stage, who have made a difference for all of us, too.
I'm Erin Murphy, and you probably know me from playing Tabitha on Bewitched. I'm here because I love the Hollywood Museum, and I come to almost everything that Danelle throws here. And I'm here because I'm speaking tonight, because I am a huge supporter of the LGBTQ community, and anytime someone asks me to talk about why, I talk about it.
Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to seeing upstairs?
Kind of everything. It's interesting here because they constantly change the exhibit, so I'm excited to see. I'm a girl, so I like the fashion.
This is Julie Newmar. It's very important, isn't it, for the LGBT community to be celebrated? And I think there's one of my costumes downstairs.
I've been a fan since Little Abner. I did some theater with Peter Palmer. I love that film.
Yes, we were in Little Abner together on Broadway at the St. James Theater. Oh, what a thrill that was. That was so much fun, Little Abner. It even turned into a good movie.
So what is your favorite movie that you've done?
That's a good question. I always think it's the next one, but I'm fooling myself.
Well, who's your favorite Catwoman?
Meow. That's a catty question, and you know it.
Pride attended the opening of the Hollywood Museum's exhibit, Reel to Reel, Portrayals and Perceptions of Gays in Hollywood. For more information, go to thehollywoodmuseum.com.
Young love, our love, we share with deep emotion.
Hello, I'm Tab Hunter, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all of our sexually diverse communities.
Kenyan rap and spoken word artist Grammo Suspect continues to stick her neck out for equality with her latest single, Hashtag Injustice. It tells the story of three LGBT people who have faced discrimination in her country and features the reggae beat by producer Herbalist of Herbal Records.
Living in this world, love's can do. We need to come up, rise up and fight for our rights and power. Oh, our rights and power. Oh, the innocent are crying. Their cry is silent. Rise up and fight for our rights and power. Oh, our rights and power.
From class one, always number one in every assignment. Went to Sunday school, at 10 she was taking the sacrament. Did everything. The parents asked of her with no argument. Clever, observant, God-fearing, the constitution that needed no amendment. At 18, in many young men's heart, she was the monument. Using the word beautiful to describe her is an understatement. So, they flocked her house, others begging to pay dowry payment. But the only thing in her mind was what she was waiting for. University enrollment. Then one day in college canteen when she was taking refreshment is when she met what we would call her today's predicament. She now lives in poverty due to lack of employment. They denied her degree because they found out about her engagement. Falling in love with a fellow woman caused this punishment, something that is beyond her understanding, stronger than any government. The more she prayed about it, the stronger was the attachment, and the injustice left her in nothing, nothing short of resentment.
Living in this world, love's can do. We need to come up, rise up and fight for our rights and power. Oh, for our rights and power. Oh, the innocent are crying. Their cry is silent. Rise up and fight for our rights and power. Oh, for our rights.
On the other hand, Johnny was always viewed as different. From tender age through his puberty in each and every element. He chose to be addressed as Connie in netball tournaments, felt more comfortable in a dress, yes, the female garment, and often hence lived with an uncle who worked in law enforcement, the same person who for a decade used him for his fulfillment. Verbal, physical, and sexual abuse were the uncle's source of entertainment, where at times called upon his older son for reinforcement. For a very long, long time, this young boy lived in torment. He prayed long and hard for God to send him to retirement. But instead, three types of infections were the doctor's establishment. And due to this cause, the poor boy was denied treatment. His uncle was the law. Hence, there was no written statement. There was no way he could prove his involvement. trans injustice led to these boys' discrimination, harassment, and then imprisonment? Mr. President, there's no doubt that these laws need reassessment.
Living in this world of scandal, we need to come up, rise up and fight for our rights and power.
To describe his son's love was embarrassment. At his 10th birthday celebration, which was followed by the denouncement, a few minutes before, Dan's father had made a surprise announcement. Son, go and kiss the love of your life, was the statement. Courageously, Dan stood up and headed straight to where Peter was to everyone's astonishment, smiled at him and smiled back, then they kissed to everyone's amazement. That simple act of love brought about a serious change of environment. Things turned dramatic and sour, quite the opposite of intended enjoyment. Just like that, the innocent boy was forced to face displacement after his angry father fiercely and publicly declared disownment. This is oppression of the highest level to mankind without measurement. We need to fight these vices that are nothing short of enslavement. Freedom is never free. We all need to have this acknowledgement. It's time to fight for this human's right without any postponement. In the Constitution, protection of the minority groups was the argument. Hence, we have every right to ask the government for endorsement.
Living in this world of scandal, we need to come up, rise up and fight for our rights and power.
Find Grandma Suspect's hashtag injustice video on YouTube. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Wenzel Jones, Jason Proctor, Mike Rutz with Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and Steve Pride contributed program material. John Williams, Bob Seger, The Cat Burglars, and Grandma Suspect performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the Estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations like WERU in Bangor and Blue Hill Falls, Maine, and you, our listener supporters, especially John Beaupre's gift in memory of Christopher David Trentum, all of whom are making this show possible. This week's News Wrap segment was sponsored by David Hunt in loving memory of David Fratkin. Check out the latest This Way Out program information and a lot more at thiswayout.org. Email twroradio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KRCL Salt Lake City, Utah, 3OCR Colac, Victoria, WCBN Ann Arbor, Michigan, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.